Well, as we turn our attention to the preaching of God's Word, tonight, as we're working through the Psalms, we come to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I invite you to turn with me there if you have your copies of God's Word with you. And here now, this is the living Word of God, Psalm 46. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Let's pray and ask that he bless the reading and the preaching of the word to us tonight. Our Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the light that it is to our feet. And we thank you, Lord, for the comfort that it can bring to our souls. We pray, Lord, as we look at this psalm, that you would guide and direct our hearts and minds, that you would, by your Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. And we pray that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak with clarity this evening. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we consider Psalm 46, my hope is tonight it's a psalm that we can find great comfort in. The opening phrase, the God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is a psalm that if we find ourselves in troubling times that we can go to and that we can read and we can look at how God helps us and is a source of strength for us in various circumstances that you and I might find ourselves in. And as we consider this psalm before us, the comfort that we can have is divided into three sections, each marked with that word Selah, a word that calls us to look back and to think upon what has just been said or written, to meditate on it. In the first section, we see maybe some natural disasters as the earth trembles, that God can be our comfort. In the second section, we can look at the comfort we can have as nations may rage around us. But lastly, the section that we'll look at the end, we can have comfort in looking towards that day of judgment. In essence, this psalm reminds us of what the Lord teaches. As he reminds us that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is in your midst, or how or what should you fear, child of God? With God in our midst, there really is nothing that we need to fear. It doesn't mean there aren't fearful things in the world. And that doesn't mean that there might be times of trepidation and turmoil. That is exactly why God has given us this psalm. That in those times that we can have comfort as we meditate on these words. But let us remember, with God in our midst, what should we fear? So first of all, the first section, God is our refuge as the earth trembles, in verses 1 to 3. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, several of these psalms have had in their title this reference to the sons of Korah, those that are credited to writing these psalms and being moved by the Holy Spirit to write these psalms. And again, I want to remind you of the story of Korah and those that would be classified as the sons of Korah. Korah leading a rebellion against Moses and Aaron in Numbers 16. And God judging Korah and those who followed him by burning them with fire from their incense. But Korah's family and line was not extinguished. And we have these sons of Korah that God used to write some of his scripture. And that simple phrase in the title of these psalms is a reminder for you and me of the immeasurable vastness of God's grace towards us as people. That here these who have such a dark history are yet redeemed and used by God. That can be a comfort for us. This is attributed here also, or in the title, is it's a song for Alamoth. We don't really know exactly what that phrase is for. That's to give some instruction to those who would have originally chanted it or sung it. But it literally means a song for young women. And that's the extent for which we know. But beyond the title, the actual meat of the psalm is one of comfort as we look at these various types of trouble that we might find ourselves in. God is, at the beginning, put forward as our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. That word, very present, is important for you and me. We can remember that God is our rock, that he is our strength, that he's our refuge. But sometimes it doesn't feel like, and we don't experience, that he is very present. And this psalm reminds us that despite what we may be feeling or going through, the word of God is what we hold to. And here he reminds us he is a very present help in trouble. It means he's not far off. You know, in our home, it's not a massive home by any stretch of the word, but it's long, it's got a long hallway, and there may be a child at one end that has an issue and is crying for help, and Alicia and I may be on the other end, and I hear them right away, and the cries become more intense. We're not there in the room very present to hear those cries and those pleas. But God is everywhere very present. He is immediate with us, and he is not far off. Now, the idea of natural disasters that we might experience. It seems like every year there's a various batch of natural disasters that get our attention in our country. And various parts being hit with various things, whether that be massive hurricanes that come through, massive snowstorms in the Northeast that have names now, wildfires on the West Coast, massive tornadoes through the Midwest, earthquakes. You name any type of natural disaster, floods, we've experienced it. And we're not alone. They happen throughout the world. These times can be troubling, and these times can shake our very world and literally and rock our world. They can turn our world completely upside down. We might lose everything we have. We might lose those that we love in such situations. So what do we do? Where do we turn? What can be our rock and our strength in these times? When, as the sons of Korah write, Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The earth here is being almost torn apart in this imagery. Now, as we consider such natural phenomena, here the psalmist may be thinking of an earthquake that they witnessed, but it brings to mind various other natural phenomena. We needn't make the mistake of trying to point out some particular group that's the cause of such natural disaster for their sin. And Jesus dealt with this quite blatantly in his ministry when he was asked, when the Tower of Siloam fell on those people and killed them, sin was it? And he says it wasn't their sin, it was we all deserve to perish in such a way. You see, these disasters do remind us of a couple things. That what we view as stable can be taken away in a moment. When we look at the earth, it is sure. We walk on it. It seems stable. It seems solid. It seems like it's going to be there forever. But in a moment, God can just turn it around. It reminds us not to look at what we can see for our stability, but to look to the Lord, who is the one who is in control of all things. These things remind us that though we may seem to have control in our lives, we really have none at all. But this psalm reminds us that even though there may be these things that happen in our lives, you and I, as God's children, can find great comfort, because what these things do is they drive us to Him. As our children come to us when they get hurt or when they're in pain, when they're in suffering, for comfort and for encouragement, for consolation, you, brother and sister in Christ, when we face such difficulties in this life, it calls us to run to our loving Heavenly Father who does love us. And we need to remember that this life and this existence that we have is just a small fraction of our existence. God has created us eternal beings. We have a soul that will never die. And when our flesh rests in the grave, our souls in Christ go immediately to Him. And when He comes again, the two will be reunited and glorified, and we will spend eternity with Him there forever. So the hardship and the trouble that we experience in this life, it is fearful and it is troublesome, yet compared to the glories that are to come, they're not to be compared. Because we will be with Christ, we will be with God in His glorious presence forever, and that will never be removed or taken from us. If God is in us, if He is with us, and we with Him, we need not fear the disasters of this life. They may be terrifying, but we can trust in the Rock who is in control of all these things. This brings us to the second section, which references nations raging, and it's a reminder that God is our stronghold as the nations rage. In verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle most high. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. This psalm points us to the end of all things. We read in Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This psalm is giving us a glimpse of that glory that is to come. The sons of Korah write, "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." These symbols of God's presence and dwelling with his people that is going to culminate in that age to come. The tree of life is none other than pointing to Christ himself. That when we come to him, he is the one who gives us life. He is the one who gives us healing. And that picture and that vision that John received from Jesus himself of the end of days when we are with God in his presence forever, we will see his face. We will be in his presence. This is the surety that you and I have as his people. This will not be taken away. She shall not be moved. Never again will the people of God be shaken. Never again will we be moved in any way, shape, or form. But we shall be with him forever. This is opposed then to what the nations of the earth experience. In verse 6. Which is really a summary of Psalm 2. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. What a wonderful picture. It gives us this picture of strong, boisterous, arrogant men proclaiming loud, boisterous calls. But yet there's this little utter of a whisper, and they just melt away and they flee. This is what's going to happen to the earth as it stands before God in its judgment. Here and now, you and I deal with proclamation after proclamation and boast after boast, arrogant word after arrogant word of tearing our God's name through the mud. But he will have the final word. He will utter his voice, and the response of the arrogant and the wicked of the world will be to melt away in fear and terror. No one can stand before the Almighty God. We cannot stand on our own. And this is why then this section ends. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This idea of the Lord of hosts, the word hosts in Scripture, refers to armies, military, war. It refers to God being the general of his armies. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, you know, from when I was a boy on up through today, is found in Joshua chapter 5. In Joshua chapter 5, this is where the people of God have come into the promised land and they're standing opposite Jericho and Joshua looks and he sees this figure. And we read in Joshua chapter 5 beginning in verse 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?'" Then I get goosebumps just about to read this phrase. "He said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." So Joshua goes to this impressive man that he sees with the sword drawn and asks him, "Are you going to fight with us or are you fighting with our enemies?" And his response is a simple no. "I'm the commander of the Lord's armies." And what does Joshua do? And what does this commander of the armies of the Lord tell him? He says the same thing that was said to Moses at the burning bush. "Take your sandals off your feet, for where you are standing is holy ground." Joshua worships this commander. And this commander receives that worship. This is the eternal Son of God, brothers and sisters. This is the second person of the Trinity. He is the commander of the armies of the Lord. He is the God of Jacob, as the psalmists talk about in Psalm 46. He is the Lord of hosts. Now, around this time, you'll probably hear Luke chapter 2 reference, where the shepherds are in the field and the host of heaven comes and tells them, you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's kind of pictured for us today as this beautiful heavenly choir that's coming and singing to these shepherds. That's not what the word hosts means. That's not the language, the meaning of the word as it comes and is carried through history. Brothers and sisters, it's not the heavenly choir that appears to the shepherds. It's the heavenly army that appears to the shepherds. And wouldn't they rightly be terrified? See these mass of angels, this myriad of angels there dressed in their battle gear? What they should have been doing is going through the earth and wiping it out, but what did they say? Peace on earth. The army of God coming to earth and declaring peace. But let us remember that God is the God of, he is the Lord of hosts. And as we consider the nations of this world, as one nation may rise against another nation, let us not fear, let us not be afraid, even if our nation is the one being risen up against. The Lord of hosts is our God. And he is victorious over his and our enemies. Our enemies are not of this world. They are a spiritual enemy, and he has won the victory. If God is with us, if he is in us and we in him, we need not fear the uprising of any nation or their boasts. God is our stronghold, lastly, as he brings judgment. Now, as this last section, come behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. When we think of that phrase, the first part of it, come behold the works of the Lord, we may think of his salvation, you know, what he's done in Christ and all these things. But then the psalmist goes on and says, who has made desolations in the earth. It's not really the first thing that we come to think of for comfort, the desolations that God has brought on the earth. But this is where the psalm directs us. But as it considers then, what does he mean by desolations? Well, he begins to unpack that. In desolations, what the psalmist is meaning is he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, he cuts the spear in two, he burns the chariots in fire. This isn't a voluntary ceasing of wars, a voluntary ceasing of conflict. In that last great day when Christ comes and he makes all things new, it is God who makes wars cease. It is God who breaks the bow. It is God who cuts the spear. It is God who burns the chariots in fire. He is the one who will establish peace on the earth. But he does this, brothers and sisters, through his final judgment of all the earth. That is what verse 10 is referencing. We might see this verse, we maybe even go to this verse for some measure of comfort of God giving us peace and stillness. You know, be still, be quiet, he's consoling us. But that's not what God is saying in this verse. What God is saying in this verse, it's, as you all know, I drove a school bus, or most of you know, I drove a school bus last year, and I had my elementary age that I took home. We had about 70 students on board from kindergarten on up through fifth grade. And there were days, especially early on, where I would have to yell, quiet! Enough! And they would just sit there like, that's what's being referenced here. Our God is patient, but nothing goes beyond his notice. And as the nations rage after millennia, after the earth rebels time and time again, there will come a day when Jesus Christ returns and the King of all glory will say, "Be still. Enough." And he will call us before him for judgment. "I will be exalted among the nations," he will declare. "I will be exalted in the earth." This is what he is reminding us in the psalm. But as that might strike us with some fear, as each section has, natural disasters would strike us with fear and thinking about them. Nations rising up against nation would strike us with fear as we think about them. Here, we are tempted to think about the fear of standing before God in judgment. But here, the final verse gives us that comfort that we long for when, once again, the sons of Korah write, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, is the one who is with us, the one who will declare, 'Be still, be quiet, enough, I will be exalted.' He is with us, and he is our refuge in that day." And so even in the day of judgment, you and I, brothers and sisters, if we are in Christ, we don't need to fear, because we are his. But if you aren't in Christ, there is a real fear that you should have in thinking about that day. And if you don't know Christ, our prayer for you is that you would find your comfort in him and stand with him on that great day. So, brothers and sisters, with God in your midst, what do you need to fear? Whether it be natural disaster, whether it be nation rising up against nation, whether it be the final judgment of God upon the earth. If he is with you, if you are in him, you have no reason to fear, for he is your stronghold, he is your refuge, he is your rock. Amen. Our Lord, we give you thanks for being our God. We give you thanks for taking us as your people. We pray that we would show our love for you more and more each day. May you, Lord, cause us to find our comfort in you alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.